What does John mean, by the way? Same thing as Jonah. Jonah and John basically are the same name. Huh? Dove. You got A+ right off the bat tonight. All right. We're here in a very, very sad circumstances. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis also and look at this in the book of Bereshit. Book of Genesis. Let's read this in Greek together. Kai meta to simeon tote ace elthane ace ekanon ho satanos lege un auto ho asus ho poies poieson toxion. What? 27. That's where we started. 26 is where we left off. I put the wrong thing down. That's not beyond me, you know. And after the morsel. Now what happened here is they're observing the Passover. This is the last Passover that Jesus will observe with His church. He's getting ready to institute the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. It doesn't say anything about it in here. But Judas Iscariot, or Judah Iscariot, more correctly, he has been an apostle, has been a member of the church for approximately 3.5 years. And the gospel did not touch his heart. Did not touch his heart. And he's a treasurer. He's holding an office in the church. And he has power to do miracles by the power of God. And yet, he doesn't know. He hasn't known God in a personal way. He had never repented of his sins. He'd been baptized. He went to the motions. But he's lost. Not only is he lost, but he was a thief. He kept stealing. Of all the jobs that he could have been doing in this church, he is an apostle and he is a treasurer. The treasurer takes care of the money. And the Bible says that he kept on stealing the money. Kept on stealing it. The other disciples did not think that, did not suspect that Judas was the person that would betray Christ. They didn't understand how anyone could betray him. They were very upset when he said that one of them would. He did tell one of the disciples whom he loved that he was going to, who was going to betray him. Just prior to this, he tells John. John is leaning on Christ's breast, in against his chest, and he whispers in his ear, and he says, "Lord, who is the one that's going to betray you?" And Jesus said, "The one that I will dip a morsel of bread in." Into this bowl, they ate with their hands, and he dipped this morsel of bread in, and he put it in Judas's mouth and fed him. He said, "The one that I do, that is the one that shall betray me." And here it says, Kai Meta, and after, the morsel, the Sumion, then he entered into that one, the Satan. Judas's heart was an open door to Satan. Some of the most horrendous sins in the history of ecclesiastical history have been done by the religious leaders, the Pope, Charles H. Russell, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, these people, the ones closer to the ecclesiastical reins. Judas, what was his occupation, actually? What did he, do you remember what Judas did? What sect was he in? The Sicarii. The Sicarii were murderers. They were murderers. They were assassins. He was an assassin. Jesus chose, did you know that, Megan? He was a political assassin. He was a killer. And there were two of them. Jesus chose two of these political assassins. He called them out. What was the other one's name? Simon the Zealot. All right? Simon the Sicarii. Okay? The Zealots were the Sicarii. What they would do is they didn't like being under Roman rule. And these people would later found the colony in Sicily, which would become the Mafia. Mafioso. These people go back to the Middle East. They are not Italians. All right? These Sicilians are Jewish. These Sicilians are these Sicarii are the ones that caused the destruction of Israel. They would go out, they carried knives about this long with a very slender blade that was sharp on both sides. They carried it underneath their cloaks. And they'd come up to a Roman soldier and they would hit him in the pit of his stomach and drive it into his heart and twist it and walk off. The Sicilian banquets, they did the same thing for many, many years. This happened, this was very famous when they got into Europe. These are the ones that had the stronghold at Masada. These are the ones, the very ones, okay? These people would be the ones that would bring Israel down. They were the Zealots. They were what we call the ultra-conservative extremists of the day. We know what that means today, don't we? All right? Now, one of them got converted. One of them remained unconverted, didn't he? And that's this one right here. And after the morsel, then he entered into that one, the Satan. Ho Satanos. What are the names of Satan? What was his first name? What was his name that God gave him? Hillel. And in Latin, what is it? Lucifer. Lucifer in Luke. In Latin, it's Lucifer in Luke. The Latin Vulgate, the King James was translated from the Latin Vulgate, not the Hebrew and Greek. And that's where we get the name Lucifer. All right? Lucifer, the light carrier, but the word Satan means the one who opposes or stands against. And then he says, therefore, to him, to Jesus, what you do it taxi, 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 taxion. Taxi is what we get, you know, you have a taxi. That means to come quick. Taxi. Do it quickly. All right? Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis for a few moments. Go back to the book of Genesis, the book of Bereshit, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. Three and verse one. And the serpent became Arum. Say Arum. Arum. That means evil. He wasn't created evil. Satan wasn't created evil either, was he? Satan was created with perfection. Now this serpent, it says, Weha Nashi. Weha Hash. Winahash Haya Arum. And the serpent, the deceiving one, he became crafty, he became evil, he became underhanded, he became a thief, he became wicked. above, Michal, above, Michal, above all the beast of the field. Which, I'm reading this right out to you from Hebrew, okay, so if you're doing that. Of the field, the hasadah. What does the sadah mean, the field? That means the moist pasture land, which he had made Jehovah God. And he said unto the woman, El ha ash, asha, so has said God, not you shall eat from all of the trees of the garden. And said ha isha unto the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Of all these. Was Judas a liar? Did he become a liar? Did he become a thief? Yeah. He became all of those things. He became that. All right? He became it of his own volition. God didn't make him that way. Now, God made this Nahash, made him perfect. He got along with all the animals. Matter of fact, this Nahash was they call the lion the king of all the animals, don't they? But really, this is the king of all the animals right here. The serpent is the king of all the animals. He was the one that was the king of all the animals. He was the leader. And from the fruit of the tree which, in the middle of the garden, said God, not you shall eat from him, his kind, and not you shall touch in him, lest you die. Lest you die. And said the serpent unto the woman, not dying you shall die. This isn't going to happen. God's lying to you. God's lying to you. Because knowing God that in the very day of your eating from him, then shall be opened your eyes, and you shall become like gods. You shall become like gods. This sounds like the Mormon church, doesn't it? Knowing ones good and evil. Knowing ones good and evil. Now I'm going to tell you something. God wasn't going to leave Adam and Eve ignorant. Adam knew more than any human being that's walking on the earth today. Did you know that? Better, more than Einstein did. Any human being on earth. He had more education than any of us. He knew more about the stars and life and animals and botany and biology than anyone. Because God told him and showed him. He had named all the animals and all the creatures on the earth. He was a God. He was the Lord. Lord. He was the Lord of all the material creation of God, because God took it from Lucifer's hands and gave it to man's hands. He created man in his image. You know that God created angels in his image? Did you know that? But not in his perfect image. He created man in his perfect image, like Christ would become. Angels are physical, aren't they? Angels are supernatural. We don't understand all about angels because we just aren't personally. How many of you have an angel friend? Huh? How many of you have a personal angel friend? Yeah. What we call a guardian angel, and I wore him out a lot of times. I mean, he's in bad shape. He's damaged. Knowing ones good and evil. And Saul, longing, desire. This thing, her eyes desired it. Her eyes longed after it. You enjoying this Hebrew business? A little bit, you're teaching Greek, but you're learning a little Hebrew tonight. All right? Holding her heart on the desire for the eyes, and lustfully desirable the tree was to make one wise, And she kept on taking from him, from his fruit. And she ate and kept on eating, and she kept on giving also to her husband with her. And he kept on eating, and he kept on eating. They defoliated that tree. They didn't just take a bite. They defoliated that tree. And that tree was not theirs. When they took the first leaf or the first piece of fruit off of that tree, they stole that from God himself. That's God. It wasn't theirs. He said, that's my tree. All the rest of them, you just have all you want. The leaves and the fruit of that tree, the leaves and the fruit of that tree were God's. And yet, they kept on eating it. And then let's go on a little bit further. And also her man with her, he kept on eating. And they were opened the eyes of them. And they knew that they had become foxes. They knew that they had become vulgar. They knew that they had become thieves. They didn't know this before. They knew that they had become vulgar. And became, and they sowed leaves of the fig tree and made for themselves aprons. It means to bind around the waist. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God. Walking for himself in the garden. This is Jesus. That's who it was. This is Jesus. This is him. In the breeze of the day, and they concealed and hid themselves, the man and his woman, from the faces of Jehovah God in the middle of the trees and the garden, and called Jehovah God unto the man. And he said to him, where are you? And he said, your voice I heard in the garden, and I became afraid, because vulgar, naked, crafty, evil I am. He became vulgar, crafty, and evil because he listened to this one here, the same man, the same thing, right here. Now, Adam walked with Jehovah God in the garden. For how many years he did, I do not know. We don't know how long Adam lived in sinless perfection. We don't know how long that happened. We know that Judas walked with Jesus 3.5 years, and it didn't do him one bit of good, did it? When the shiny one came by and enticed his heart, he never was saved or sealed by God. He just went along for the ride. When Satan came to him, his heart was an open door. And he says, therefore, to him, the Jesus, what you do, do it quickly. 13:28. Now we have another victim of Satan. Another victim of Satan. Judas seals his eternal status with Satan. Talk about selling your soul. Sold his soul. Tuto Dei Udes. Egno ton ana kemo minon. Pros ti et pan auto. 13:28. But this one, no one he knew of the ones laying up. For all the rest of the people that were laying up to this table, they were all laying up to the table. They were not sitting in chairs. They were laying up to the table. That beautiful painting of the Lord's Supper is just absolutely incorrect. I don't care how beautiful it is, it's totally incorrect. Okay? They were laying up to the table and nobody else knew who, what was going on. Or what he said, or why he said what he did to Judas. All right? Judas means what? Judah means what? Praise Jehovah. 13:29. Tenes gar edokun. Epe to glosokomon. Ekan. Udas hote lege. Auto hoesus. Agoroson. Hon, Creon, Ekumen, Ace Tain, Erotain, A Tois, the Tokois, Hina T Duo. Chris, you got your Bible with you tonight? All right. I want you to look at open that where we began in a couple of minutes and bring it up here and read it. For some, they kept on thinking. This is before he instituted the Lord's Supper. The supper is not over until the Lord's Supper is instituted. Remember? And Judas is gone. He's not there. For some, they kept on thinking, that's third person plural and perfect indicative active. Since the money bag, glossokomon, the money bag, it means tongue bag. It's an old bag that they used to use to keep their mouthpieces of their wind instruments in for safekeeping. You know, like a clarinet or something like that. Of course, we're going back in ancient days now. But, yeah, the reeds. They would keep their mouthpieces in this type of bag, and that's where this word glossokomon. Glosso means what? Glosso. We got a word glossary out of it. The mouthpieces. The language. The language of the trumpets, and so on and so forth. This is where they would keep this. This is where this word comes from. For this bag, he kept on having a cane, third person singular and perfect indicative active, Judas. That he tells to him to Jesus, agorazon. Agorazon. The word agorazon means to go barter for, or to go buy, or to go deal. In some way, you barter, you deal, you buy, you go shopping. Back in these days, they traded many things. In early America, until the days of the Depression, you know that the farmers in this country didn't use money very often. Did you know that? They didn't use money. They traded. It was all barter system. And that's what this word agorazomai comes from. Agorazo. It means to barter, to trade. Okay? In America, my stepfather, Dusty, his father, they were Scots. And you know, Scots are tighter than the bark on a tree. I'm 1/32nd Scots. The only white blood I got in me is Scots. Anyway, he said he would go to town once a year, and he had 12 kids. And his grocery bill for a year was about $6 to $8 a year. He would only buy spices, salt, and sugar that he couldn't trade for any other way. And he grew cane, and he made his own brown sugar and stuff like that, whatever he could. His wife would take off with about 3 or 4 kids every Monday, and they would get out there and they'd pull them out of the fields, and she would be out there washing clothes with a scrub board and boiling water over an open fire. My grandmother, great-grandmother, did that until she got so old she just couldn't do it anymore. She was in her 80s when she quit it. But they would be out there doing this over a big old pot and kettle. When they got to the end of it, they'd grab a couple of chickens, pull their heads off, and throw them in there and scald them. That's what you did, you know. Make good use of the hot water. But they would be all day long washing clothes. And a Maytag washing machine man came by. And he got out there and he said, send everybody in the field except for your wife and me. And he fired this gasoline-powered Maytag washing machine up. And by noontime, she had dinner fixed, and all the clothes were washed and hung out on the line. Just her and the Maytag washerman. Well, he came in to eat dinner. Usually they carried their lunch buckets of cold food. Now they had the hot food this day. Because she was done in time to get in there and fire up a pot and have those chickens that they roasted. Anyway, he came in there and he said, "Mr. Rhodes," he said, "if you just buy this washing machine, your wife will be so happy. She will really appreciate it, and you won't have to have but one child out of the field. All the rest of them will be out there working all day, and you can have a hot lunch every week on Monday instead of eating leftovers." He said, "How much is it?" He said, $8. He said, "That's too much. Too much." She didn't get one. He never got one. She rubbed that until he rubbed on a scrub board until he died. And they kept on since the money bag. They kept on having Judas. That he tells to him to Jesus, "Go out and trade for, buy. Of which is need we have for the feast. Or the poor to the poor, that something might be given to them." You know, part of their religion was to give to the poor. We don't understand that here today so much. You got people out here panhandling on every corner almost here. But over in that country over there, the poor people, there was no social security system or anything else at all. The farmers were supposed to not harvest anything out of the fields every seventh year. That was for the wild animals and the poor. They could not make profit off that seventh year, but they got pretty greedy about that. Here in America, like I said before the Depression, farmers traded for almost everything they had. I'll go to Rosamond. After that, we had the Social Security Act, and we had money. We had a gold standard and all that, and we had set prices on things. And it was a deterrent to trade for what you had. They wanted going through the system after that. They wanted money changing hands. They wanted money to change hands. 1330, La Bonne, Un to Somion, Ekanos, XL thing, Ethos, Pain de Nix. Having received therefore the morsel, Jesus put that bread in his mouth. That one, he went out immediately, and he kept on being, and it kept on being night. He was a child of the night. Now most people go home at night and stay indoors back in those days, because you know who's out running around in the nighttime? The same guys that's running out in the nighttime right now. The bad dudes. The thieves and the robbers. Except for those guys that have to work all night. 1331. Hote un exeltain. Lege Jesus. Nin edoxasten exosathain. Thay. Ho huios. Tu anthropu. Kai ho theos, edoxaste, en ato. When therefore he had gone out, and he says, Jesus, now he was glorified, the Son of the man, and the God, he was glorified in him. Christine, are you ready? Mm-hmm. All right, come up here and read from where we started to right here. Smooth it out just a little bit.
Where
did you start? 27? Yeah, start with 27 to 31.
Okay. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he had said this. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night.
All right. It kept on being night. 1332 now. Ahotheos. edoxaste en auto. Now, by the way, that's in brackets. That wasn't in the old manuscripts. Okay? And it actually starts in where it says chi there. Chi looks just like it does in English, doesn't it? Doesn't make any difference. Chi hothios doxaste auton en auto chi euthis doxaste auton. Then it says the God he was glorified in him. Now, we know that that's not in the old manuscripts. And it was put there probably to explain what it said. The God was glorified in Christ. How was God glorified in Christ? What had he done to manifest the glory of God? He performed many miracles. The last few miracles that he did were those that were absolutely his messianic credentials only, which was to heal the blind. Okay? Now let me tell you a little something about it. How many of you ever studied biblical criticism at all? Now there's two kinds of biblical criticism. Those that are scientists of the scriptures that study the Greek and Hebrew text and what was there, and they look at the different manuscripts and the families of manuscripts, and they're not trying to tear the Bible apart, but they're trying to make it pure. Okay? That's what we call Christian biblical or biblical criticism. But there's also biblical critics, agnostics, and atheists that try to prove that the Bible is wrong. Now, I want to say this to you. Don't ever be afraid to study medical science, archaeology, anthropology, or anything else. Just know what the Bible teaches. And if you have a biblical foundation, you will know more about science and medicine than anybody. Now, just in the last few decades, they have been able to heal people that were blind. Did you know that? That had never seen before. They have been able to give sight to some people in certain cases to where they could begin to see that have never seen before. I want to tell you this, they've never taken eyes out and put eyes in, that's just too much. Okay? But they've changed the lenses inside where they could replace the lenses and everything, where people could see in certain cases. Now remember when Jesus healed the one man, and he healed the man, and he asked him what he could see. You remember what he said? What did he say?
They look like trees.
They look like trees. In medical science today, when they heal these people that have never seen before, their minds do not know how to discriminate what is what. So everything looks like just objects to them, like trees. It takes quite a while for the brain to assimilate what they're seeing and where they can put faces to people and forms to different things. And guess what? In the Word of God, before medical science ever knew anything about that, we have it in the Gospels. A man that could not have been healed by any modern means at all. He was blind from his mother's womb. Okay? Could not be healed by any modern means, but Jesus healed this man. But he saw just like a person that would be given their sight today. He saw his brain was not trained yet to understand and discriminate what objects were, and that's what he saw. And then Jesus healed his mind and gave him his mind instant understanding, and then he saw perfectly well. Medical science proven one more time. All right. John 13:33. Technia. That's one of John's favorite terms, by the way. Ete, mikron, methimon, amy, zetezete, me, kai kathos, apon, tois, udiois, hote, upo, ego, hipago, hemes, u, dineste, elthane, kai hemen, lego, arti. Little children, This is a very affectionate address. John picked it up on from Jesus, and he kept repeating that term, little children, little children. You know, in this world, your families may leave you. Because you're a Christian, they may not want to fellowship with you very much. When you raise your children up, they can either go one way or the other. If they go the other way, you'll probably not see much of them. But I'm going to tell you this, and I know this for certain. God will give you a lot more children. A lot more children. That'll love you so much. More than your own children. You'll have lots of children. Lots of children. And John had a lot of children. And he loved his babies. And I love you babies. Little children. An adoring term, affectionate term.
Jim.
Yes.
Every once in a while you list out the different names for kids. Like one who doesn't talk and one who can be disciplined and they have different levels. Does this fall somewhere in that or is it more colloquial?
Technia means a born child. A live birth is what it actually means. Okay? We got a word technician, technical, from it, technically a live birth. But also it was used as a term like mijo and mija in Spanish. My little beloved one.
Is it Aramaic?
It's Greek. It's Greek. It's Greek. It's Greek, yeah. Little children. My little children. Jesus didn't have any children. But boy, has he got a lot of children. He didn't physically have any children, but boy, does he have a lot of children. Little children yet, ete, a little adverb of time. A little while, micros, we get our word micro, microscope everything, all from this term right here, this word micro. Meth himon, with you, Amy, I am. Ye shall seek me, look at that, ye shall zealously seek me. And just as I said to the ones, Jews, that where I go, ye not are powerful enough to come. And also to ye I say now, arti. Look at the word arti. Arti. The word Arthur comes from that word. Arthur. The word Arturos. The word art. All comes from this. It's an adverb of time, now. When you name a child Arthur, it's now. He's now. All right. 1334. Antolane. Kainane. Didymi. Himan. Hina. Agapete. Alelos. Kathos. Agapesa. Himas. Hina. Kai Himes. Agapete. Alelos. You're learning Greek with Oklahoma accent. Did you know that? I have a student in Japan, a beautiful girl, picture of her is up on that, Gina Tanaka. And she's from the Philippines, her husband is Japanese, they could not speak each other's language hardly at all. But both of them are learning how to speak English by listening and watching to my classes. And she told me one time, we're learning, my children are learning English from you. And I said, well, they're learning it with an Oklahoma accent. It's not quite the Queen's English. So this is, I always throw a little Oklahoma in my translations, my Hebrew and my Greek. A commandment, new, I give. A new commandment, I give. First person, singular, present, indicative, active. To you all. See that, you all there? To ye, that's deity, plural, second person pronoun. That, or in order that, Hina there actually would probably be translated better in order of that. In order that ye love. And this word ye love here, what does the world does this mean? That ye love, now it can be imperative or it can be subjunctive here. What do you think it is? Subjunctive. Yes. That ye may do this. You can. What is your salvation volitational? Is your service volitational? It's voluntary. It's voluntary, isn't it? I can guarantee you one thing. If you're a child of God and you're not serving the Lord, you're not going to be very happy. But it is voluntary. You're not robots. Every time you see salvation, every time you see service is going to be in the subjunctive mode, and many times in what voice? Middle voice. All right? Second person plural, present, subjunctive, active. That can be imperative. But I think because of the context and because of the words, every place else, I believe it's in the subjunctive mode. One another, just as I have loved, look at that word, I have loved ye, that also ye. Now here's another one. Now this is why I think it is subjunctive. All right? Ye love, second person plural, present, subjunctive, active, or imperative active. Ye love one another. All right, ye love one another. 13:35. In tuto, noson te, tai, fontes, hote, emoi, mate te, este, hian, agapain, ekete, en elo, ele, lois. Now this word agape here, agape, what does this word agape mean? Agapeo. Agape in, as a subjunctive, and, I mean not as a subjunctive, but a substantive or a noun, and agape as a verb, what does that mean? What kind of love is this? Brandy, you remember what kind of love this is?
The
agape.
Well, the agape,
yes.
People always say it's a godly love, but then you were saying there was something different. It was a pure love. I don't
it's sacrificial love.
Sacrificial.
You give your life for it. See, God gave His life for us. And if we imitate Him, we will give our lives for one another. And would they? They would be called upon to do this. Absolutely, this was going to happen. They would be called upon to do this. They would have to give their lives for one another. The Jews, first of all, began to persecute them. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was not always the Apostle Paul, but he was Saul the murderer. The Sicari, the assassin. And God stopped him on the road to Damascus. That's one time we have an abortion. There's an abortion. I believe from what all the scriptures say that Saul was born of Satan, like a whole bunch of these leaders were. You can be born of Satan just like you're born of God. You know why you can't reach certain people? Because they are been born again from below. That's scary, isn't it? People can be born of Satan just like you're born of God. Yes.
What's the difference between what you just said and it's a natural fallen man that's being born? What's the difference?
Fallen man is fallen. He's Adamic. He's Adamic. He's the spirit of rebellion is in him. But Judas sealed his eternal destiny when Satan came into his heart. You understand that? Some people literally, voluntarily, give up and sell their soul to Satan. And they have rejected. Every man has heard the gospel. Or he watches stars at night. Anybody but a village idiot, when he walks outside at night time, looks up in the skies and sees God. You've got to be told that God didn't do that. Because naturally you would believe that God did this. Everything in your heart points you to God. But all of a sudden, sometimes with people, some of these atheists, agnostics and things, sometimes they're born of Satan. One of my teachers wrote a book about that thick, and about that much of that book was being born of Satan. That's scary. God's plan with man. Satan has a plan with man too, I'm going to tell you. You know why you can't reach certain people in these religious groups? Because they've been born from Satan. It's demonic powers there. Demonic powers holding them. When somebody is saved out of Islam, when somebody is saved out of Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Catholicism, it's a miracle of God. Takes a lot of prayer. I'm going to tell you something so your spirit will be lifted up in all of this. I have a family in my Sunday school class And 60% of the family were Jehovah's Witnesses, and just a couple of them were saved and Christians. The students would leave their home and go home, and these two brothers were really close. Actually, the three brothers were really close. One of them's a Christian, two of them Jehovah's Witnesses. And some of the other family are Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of them. Well, one Jehovah's Witness began to come to my class. Come here. I taught the doctrines of the Bible, and I taught church history, and he listens to all of that. Then he read that book, Shadow of an Indian Star. By the way, I've got one there. Well, only new one I've had for years. It's for sale. I've got one extra one. He read that book and heard me preach, and he said, if that man can come from that and get saved and become a preacher, anybody can be saved. I never argued with him one time. He would come and he would leave my classes and argue with them all the way home. For about a year, he did that. All of a sudden, he just shut up. Just shut up. They never heard anything else about him at all except praises for the class. And he went over to New Mexico, I think it was, and he was helping his son or nephew or something build part of the house. He was putting hanging doors and everything, and he cut his hand really bad with a saw. And he had to go to emergency. And his niece took him down there, and they asked him what religion he was, and he said Baptist. And when she came home, she was just shocked. She said, I took Uncle So-and-so down there, and when he told them what he was, they asked him what denomination he was, he said Baptist. What's the deal? It's always been Jehovah's Witness. Now he's Baptist. See there? God can reach in. That man's heart wasn't sealed. And the Word of God did the trick. And there's some of them out there that are working. So don't give up. And this we will know, all men, that to me disciples ye are. If love ye may have among one another. We have voluntary workers all over the world in Islamic countries. And they can't say the name of Jesus anywhere or anything. And all they can do is what Jesus said right here. Act like a Christian. That's all you can do. Act like a Christian. Can't do anything else. Just act like a Christian. Do you have any questions? We went from 13:27 to 13:35. It could fit there. It could. But with the syntax from all the other places where John used the same thing and used you may believe, you may do this, and then later on in the next few verses we're going to see where it's subjunctive, not only subjunctive but middle voice. So I believe it is in the subjunctive mode. Later on it's going to be in the middle voice. We'll see that a little bit later, just in the next few verses. But he keeps on using this all the way from John 1. We've gone all the way from John 1 to the 13th chapter now, and he's never failed. There are places where subjunctive and imperative, it is the same endings. And you just have to judge for yourself. Okay? And according to the syntax, and according to the rest of his writings, what he's actually talking about. It could be in the imperative mode. I'm not arguing about it. But I don't think so. Because he's not God, he's not going to. Yes, we should do that. We should do it. Okay? But it is voluntary. No matter what, it's voluntary. You're always. God convicts your heart. Without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Isn't it? Okay? There's no way a man can be saved on his own. That's impossible. Okay? It is not possible. And The Lord, I believe, draws all men to Himself. Everywhere. I believe every child, everywhere, has got this drawing to God. Helen Keller. You know, she could not communicate at all. And finally, when she got to where she could communicate, they asked her, "Do you know about God?" She said, "Yes." How did she know about God? How did she know when she couldn't hear, she couldn't talk, or anything? How did she know? It's that Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. Yes, Brandy.
So when we were in China many, many years ago, we went to villages where, like, nobody had even seen a white person before. The kids were scared of us.
Yes.
And there was a man who said, "There you are." Not to us personally, but there was another group that had went, and it was the same thing. He said, "There you are." It was the first time they'd seen a white person, and he said, "Thank you," because he went out, he'd seen the stars, he'd worked the field, and he just said, "There's somebody out there. There's something bigger. This is not what they teach me. What my religion tells me is not the end." And so he just said, "Whoever you are, you have to send somebody. You have to tell me. You have to show me." And, like, 2 weeks later, these white people that he's never seen before show up in his village, and they were missionaries, and he's like, "Okay,
that's it." He knows that this is God's answer.
Right.
Yeah, he knows this is God's answer.
And they have a lot of stories like that out there.
Yeah. Why? I believe, I don't care who you are in the world, any place out there, lost in the darkness, deepest countries, if you really want to know God's truth, and you pray, that God's going to get it to you. God's going to get to you. That man wanted to know the Lord. Did he not? He wanted to know the Lord. Before he ever got there, God was preparing his heart. All right. And that happens so many times. Before we ever get there, God is preparing their hearts. That man that came here, when he comes, he's gone a lot of times. Guess what he does now? This guy that was Jehovah's Witness, you know what he does now? He works for the Southern Baptist Convention in youth camps. Isn't that neat?
It's hard to get away from being Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, it's hard. It's very hard. Yes, it's very hard. Catholic and Jehovah's Witness are about the same. One thing about the Catholics is that Catholics do believe that the Bible is God's Word. They do believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even though they got them three different individuals, and Mary over there too is God. You know, you got four gods, really. And then you got all them saints that are helpers, you know. But once you get past all that paganism, you come, the Lord will, I tell you what, my greatest accomplishments and success is with Catholics, conversion.
Are they known, the witnesses, are they known to kill people that have left or try to leave threatened?
They don't do violent things.
No,
Mormons do. Mm-hmm. Mormons sent the angels of vengeance. Two men used to go out and they killed people when they left the church. There are many, many graves in Utah, Arizona, and Nevada and everything. Many, many graves out in those countries where people, the angels, two angels, the messengers, would go out and they would kill the man. They would tell him to dig his own grave and then they would cut his heart out, slit his throat. When they become Mormons, they sign a blood oath. And if you don't follow through before now, today, there are still places where they do this. There was a movie called The Angel of Death, I think it was. The Messenger of Death that Charles Bronson did one time, and it showed that. And what was on there was really what happened. All right? And there are still cliques and different groups of Mormons in those countries where they do that. Jehovah's Witnesses are basically nonviolent people. They're just very deceived. They don't do violent things. They are very vicious to people in their families that convert to Christianity. But they are not violent at all. Any other questions? Go listen to the 9 classes that I have on there. You can watch or listen to them on the website. Just go to Jehovah's Witness. You can go into where it says series. Go up there at sermonaudio.com/DTW. Or discovertheword.com, you can go right down to the bottom of it, go over to the website there, go where it says series, and you go on there where it says the cults, Jehovah's Witness cult. You can coach on that, and you can listen to about 12 or 13 hours of an ex-Jehovah Witness up here with me telling about what they believe, and I would back it up by the Bible, you know, and we would discuss that. Randy.
This is an easy one. On verse 34, the ye love one another. Can you just pronounce that?
Which one?
Ye love one another.
Oh, agapete. 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 Hina agapete alelus. Kathos agapesa himas hina kai himes agapete alelus. See, that word agape is in there in several different places. All right. Agapete. Corey.
32.
Oh, okay. Now, the first time, it is what we call a cumulative particle. Chi is on page 208 in that little book right there. Right here, it's a cumulative particle, means also, okay? And you know that by the context, basically. John 1 and 1, we have chi's in John 1 and 1. We have three sentences in John 1 and 1. It's used as a conjunction twice, and then as a, what we call a particle of affirmation. Yes! It says, in the beginning kept on being the Word or the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being a separate, inseparable part of the Godhead because, or yes, indeed, He kept on the Word, the Jehovah kept on being God. Now, the Jehovah Witness will try to put a God in there, but that does violence to the Scriptures. It's a predicate nominative. Here we have chi there, just like that. And then ho, logos. Ain, theos, number, gender, case, and, or but, or yes, indeed, here, yes, as you can see on page 208 in there, you'll see all of that, the Word, or the Jehovah, He kept on being God. Now, this is a predicate nominative right here. This is an equal sign. There's one person over here. It's nominative, singular, masculine. That's the case of the subject. It's singular and it's masculine. Over here, it's nominative, singular, masculine. This one over here is this one over here. Very same person, number, gender, and case. And he's not a God, but he's whole field, the God. Because you can't put an A over here when you got a the over here. When this the is here, if that the is over here. It can't be changed. That, or you do violence to the grammar and you do violence to the language. The Word is, keeps on being the God. The God. He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Jesus never stopped being God when He was on earth. He's God. A lot of people say, well, He's half God, half man. No, He was all God and all man. Period. And He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. We have God the Son. Any other questions? Christine, you got a question?
No.
Udamia. Corey, thank you. That's a good one. And, yes.
Well, and you said this, I don't know, a few weeks ago, that...
I slept since then, you know.
That, you know, God gave us one faith, and Satan gave us hundreds of religions.
That's right. He gave one. He founded one church, and the devil founded 100.
Yeah. And so when people, they're searching for God, I'm talking about, you know, what we call lost people, but they're searching into, mm-hmm. I mean, they think they found something, but say a Muslim or a Jehovah, I mean, they think they found
Baha'i, any yeah. of that stuff, yeah.
So, but they're never, but God's desire is for them to find the truth.
The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will never lead you anyplace else to want to one of God's New Testament churches. If you go anyplace else, it's because you did it. Just settle for less. When I started studying the Bible, I have a Mormon background, a Jehovah's Witness background. Okay? Pentecostal background. That's my background, nothing else. That's all it was. Presbyterian, way back yonder, Paul's Valley, and Mississippi. I became a Baptist because the Bible and church history made me that. And I'm very convinced that I'm right. I mean, I am what I am by conviction, period. And I can prove it to you from history and from the Bible. And I try to give people that kind of faith that they can live on and die on. I mean, any faith is good for living, but only the faith is good for dying. Okay? As simple as that. All right. Simple. Simple as that. All right. Any other? Megan, do you have a question? You can just ask questions all you want to. Are you learning, young lady?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I really think, I mean, people come into the class and they say, I'm a young Christian. I will stay here. I said, you'll learn faster than you will anyplace else. You will get deep things and shallow things. All right. David, thank you for coming back. Takes fortitude to come back. Won't not be afraid to learn. All right. Anything else? No? Brandy, Megan got up and read for us the other day. She's doing great. Doing great. All right. Christine, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer?
Sure.
This is my favorite neighbor right here.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for tonight, Father, and I thank you for Brother Jim and how he just opens up the Word to us and explains and helps us to dig deeper, Lord. And I thank you, God, that we have the freedom to do this and the opportunity to do this on a regular basis. And I pray that you'll just bless us with understanding and wisdom, and that we'll use it to glorify you. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hans Smith.